Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
This is the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRMP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right. Welcome back right here on ESPN 97.5. Time to bring in the head coach of them Houston Cougars. They had themselves a nice little break. Back at it against Cincinnati. 2:30 game at TDECU. Got to get out there and support this team. Coach, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, doing good. You on your way into this to work?
I am. You got me on the commute this morning.
So let's talk a little bit. You do the GPS on your players. After this break, have you seen an increase in energy? Have you seen, you know, that they're how well rested they are? Is it made a difference, you think?
Not so much in the GPS world. The bye week. We got our work done last Tuesday and Wednesday. We went out there, we practiced. I wouldn't say there were two greatest practices that we've had all year, but that's to be expected. Gave them the weekend off. We did some more work on Thursday and Friday morning, and then gave them the weekend off. And the GPS numbers did spike on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm very satisfied with the work that we got done here this week. I think the bigger issue was just the mental break. The one thing that you can't underestimate when you're preparing for five teams and in five short weeks. The mental aspect of it, I think, gets you more than the physical aspect of it. Relatively healthy, good to go. The GPS numbers, like to answer your question, are good, but the mental aspect of it, I think, is even better.
How about, do you track work rate, Coach? A lot of people are big into work rate. Like, it's not just how fast you move GPS. You want to know what the heart rate's doing, space travel, things like that. I guess it's classified as work rate. Do y'all look at that?
Yeah, the first thing I started looking at was just the amount of yards ran. Uh-huh. Like some of my guys at West Virginia would run, and we don't nearly practice as hard here as we did there towards the end of my tenure there, just because how used to it we were. But there were like 10,000, 11,000 yards, which is a lot of yards, but I mean, I can go out there and cover 11,000 yards. It's like you said, it's the workload. How hard are they going during those
right
steps? So I want the yardage down, but the workload up. Daryl Bauer does such a good job. He's our strength and conditioning coach of getting us as coaches to understand these numbers. And we look at that workload, and the higher that workload is and the less amount of time that we're out there is kind of what we're after.
Dana Holgorsen with us on ESPN 97.5. We didn't talk to you after the North Texas game. You guys had the bye week. You were out recruiting. You were doing all kinds of stuff. So we got you this week. I know it's a while ago now, but let's talk a little bit about it. And obviously you've had to talk about Clayton Tune a bunch. Not huge numbers, but extremely efficient, wasn't he?
Yeah, 16 of 20, and had two drops that should have been caught. So was very happy with how he operated. He had over 100 yards rushing, and people are like, well, Derek King's going to sit out the rest of the year and come back next year, which he's doing fantastic in practice and being a great teammate, running the scout team, and I think this is going to pay off for him in the long run, just as far as the game slowing down and all that. But Clayton's not going to be able to put up the rushing numbers that Derek did. Well, he did. I mean, one game, 100-plus yards is pretty spectacular. So you can see on video that he's you got to account for him in the run game. But just more importantly, you know, he didn't turn the ball over. And you know, we didn't have very many snaps. When you have two kickoff returns for touchdowns, or one kickoff and one punt for a touchdown, that takes away two of your possessions. So we only snapped the ball 50-some times because of some big plays in the returns. But it was very efficient. You know, our third down thing was really good. His completion percentage was good. And taking care of the football was good as well.
How important was it for you to get him started with some easy passes to get him acclimated?
Well, the first one was maybe his best throw he had all night. His first two completions, he scrambled out. He hit an out route on the sideline, which is not the easiest throws that you could have. You know, I was happy to see that because he didn't force any throws into coverage. He kind of scrambled out there, and he didn't just scramble out there to run. He scrambled out to throw, and he threw a nice ball to Marquez on the sidelines. And then we booted out, and he threw another out route like that. So he can make the throws, and I've told you guys that for a long time. We've been very happy and confident with what his progress is. It's just happy to see him go out there and do it in a game situation.
Coach, you know, I'm interested. So you got a Cincinnati team, and I remember when they beat UCLA 24-14, they looked really impressive, and that was a UCLA team that people were like, oh, great, another Chip Kelly, you know, sorry team, and then they came out and had a really big bounce-back win, and that win looked a little better for them. Then they came out, and John and I were expecting them to really maybe give Ohio State a hard time, and they lost 42-0, and I don't know, I kind of just – I didn't really pay attention to them after that. They beat Marshall. They beat Miami, Ohio. And then, bam, they win 27-24 against a very good UCF team, a good UCF team. And this is a really challenging game. You guys are a little bit more than a touchdown dog, but I don't know that I've ever seen this before. Michael Warren, 222 pounds. Tavion Thomas, 233 pounds. Gerald Dokes, who's got the third most carries as a running back, is 230 pounds. And their quarterback, who will run it some, Desmond Ridder, is 214 pounds. That's got to be the biggest four-man rushing. Those are their top four rushers. Those have got to be the biggest top four rushers I've ever seen for a rushing team.
Yeah. We gotta somehow get all those guys on the ground. But you know, I tell you what it is. I mean, they're a top 25 team. Okay, so, you know, UCLA is still UCLA. They got good players. And they went to Washington State and, yep, and won that game. So they've got really good players. Ohio State, in my opinion, is one of the top teams in the country. I mean, you watch them each and every week. They win at Nebraska by, 35 points. They beat Michigan State by 30 points or whatever it is. You watch that video against Cincinnati and you watch just play-by-play, they competed hard against that team. It's just Ohio State kind of wore them out there at the end. I think Ohio State is really, really, really good. Cincinnati's a top 25 team, you know. So we play this conference, and we've talked about this a lot. The American is a tough conference. Each and every week you're going to play a really good quality team. I know Houstonians aren't real familiar with the likes of Cincinnati. And you know, Luke Fickell is a really good football coach. He's been at Ohio State for a long time. They play Big Ten football, so they're gonna run the ball a bunch. They're real physical up front. They're gonna use tight ends and fullbacks and control the clock. But where they make their money is on defense. I mean, they're really, really good on defense. They're very, very, very sound. They have NFL players all over the place. They're very sound in the kicking game. It's gonna be a tough game. Just the quality of the football in the league, it just continues to impress me every week.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. Let me ask you this. You guys are, I mean, Cincinnati doesn't get more balanced. They've thrown for 1,000 and they've run for 930. You guys have run for more yards, like about almost 500 more yards or in that neighborhood than you have thrown. You like that balance, or what is that? Would you rather be more balanced, or are you fine with this?
Well, I'm good with where we're at right now. Our pass game continues to improve, and it will. It's it's easier to improve in the passing game than it is in the running game. I mean, if you don't establish a good, hard-nosed, physical nature up front with some good schemes, whether it's, you know, put tight ends in the game and get real physical and get your O-line to understand that you got to get your hand in the dirt and come off the ball. And you can't just flip that switch. You got to start with that from the beginning. And we did that in January. We knew we were going to want to establish the run game. And then the pass game is all timing. I mean, you just got to continue to work on it and have the ability to be able to throw the ball when you have to be able to throw the ball. But, you know, we'll continue to work on that. I feel very comfortable with getting our team to understand that we're going to continue to throw the ball and get better at that. You can't just flip that switch when it comes to the run game. So that's a year long process.
You know, and it's funny. It isn't. That's a, like you said, that mindset. Didn't Leach tell you and Seth both tell you that you guys were a much more physical team than they expected?
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to say, you know, associate the University of Houston and associate, you know, myself with what we've done offensively with, you know, the air raid brand and we're going to throw for a million yards a year and all that, you know, NFL quarterbacks and receivers and all that stuff's true. But, you know, I learned a few years ago as a head coach that you got to do things within your program, one, to make your defense better, and two, to have the mindset to be able to say, look, we're going to control the ball and run the ball. But that has to happen from day one, you know, so very happy with where we're at with that. You know, I think Brandon Jones, my O-line coach, is doing a really good job with that. But having the ability to be able to run with your quarterback brings a whole other element to it. So we're going to continue to run the ball, and we're happy about that. We have to get better at throwing the football, and that's just going to be a work in progress.
You know, it's funny, Coach, because I'm on the selection committee for the Joe Moore Award, so we watch all the, you know, a lot of offensive lines that are playing well. And I was talking to Olin Krutz the other day, former NFL offensive lineman. And there, amongst offensive lines, former linemen and coaches that are part of the Joe Moore stuff, the excitement that the idea that the passing game, it was all passing down, the run game was dead, boy, that has been greatly over-exaggerated. Running the football is still it's a mental warfare thing in some ways. And the Colts have decided we're going to win the football. We're going to survive Andrew Luck being gone by just battering people with their offensive line. And I'm kind of curious, because you talked about your transition from air raid into what you do now. Was there ever a time that you saw, hey, you know what? This mentality of wanting to run and being able to run is something that really gives you mental toughness.
Let me ask you this. Was it the Skylar Howard era where you kind of moved over?
No, we actually went there prior to that. You know, it was one of the things that I identified, you know, going into the Big 12. I mean, we were air raid now. My first year at West Virginia, second year at West Virginia with Geno Smith, we were air raid now. Now, my version of air raid was always going to be we're going to run the ball a little bit more than what I was used to with Coach Leach. And, you know, so we had 1,000-yard rushers at Houston back in 2008, 2009. We had, you know, Kendall Hunter had, what, 1,500 yards or whatever at Oklahoma State. And then going to West Virginia, we ran the ball. We weren't very good at it because our skill set was just throw the ball with Geno Smith, Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey, guys like that. Going into the Big 12, I'm like, we can't do this because everybody else is doing it. So that's kind of when I said, we got to start running the ball a little bit more. I hired Ron Crook from Stanford. And actually, Ron Crook's the O-line coach at Cincinnati right now, which that tells you they're going to be a physical upfront type team. You said the Colts, we had their right guard, Mark Wolanski, which I watched them play. They played on, I believe, Thursday night or whenever they played. I ended up watching that game, and those guys are fun to watch because they're inside three, just get down and dirty now. And that's the type of offense that I started running at West Virginia for about 3 or 4 years there. And it really did make a difference, and it gave us a little bit of an edge.
And they love Glowinski. They were like, we got him off a waiver wire, and this guy is unbelievable right now at right guard. And Quentin Nelson just put it. Now, Quentin Nelson's a special player, but he's also a culture changer. He got hats forever, and his quarterback wears hats, run the damn ball. His quarterback wears the run the damn ball hat because that's their whole mindset, is we're just going to kick your ass, when it comes right down to it, we're going to kick your ass, and you're not just not going to like it. And that's how we're
going to build it. I tell you who else is doing that is the 49ers. I caught those guys on Monday night. That's pretty impressive, that fullback tight end. But what the old line does up there, I mean, games are still won in the trenches, and
absolutely.
And I'm not saying we're there yet, but we're headed in that direction, and that's the direction we want to head in.
Are you headed in that direction on the defensive front?
Well, and that's where it all starts. I don't know if I've ever been more impressed with a D line than I was with the 49ers. Speaking of the same game when I watched it on Monday night, but. It's what we want to do. It's why I went to a four down front. You know, Joe Cawthorn is a D line coach. You know, and he brought his D line guy in from Arkansas State. We're going to put about 50% of our scholarships on the D line, and you got to invest a lot into it. You got to coach them hard. You got to rotate them a lot. We're a far cry from where we want to be, but those guys are starting to understand it and starting to play really hard.
Dana Holgorsen here. On ESPN 97.5 every week, brought to you by HRMP Demers and by Chastang Ford. And, you know, one guy that doesn't put his name on this, but he definitely does a lot with U of H. He's a big supporter of yours. He's a big supporter of the entire programs, is Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. He's not a U of H guy either, yet he's a big supporter of the program. And you Cougs out there, if you've got a big job for Jeff Aronoff, he did some wonderful work, didn't he, for the baseball program, Coach?
He did. Yeah, he did. And he's done a little bit of work for the football program as well. He's an awesome guy and a big supporter and just very generous, shows up here a lot, just asks what we need. I know he did a lot of work with baseball, like you mentioned, but he's doing some stuff with football as well.
Yeah, and so you Cougs out there, if you're looking for a guy, if you want a guy that supports your program, Jeff Aronoff, he's putting his dollars where his mouth is, and he's also putting in whatever you need. You need those countertops. You need that outdoor patio. You need that outdoor kitchen. You need anything that's any big job. How about vanities? He puts entire vanities in hotel rooms and into hotels, entire hotels. So if you're looking for that guy to do that stuff, rock hard, anything hard, Jeff Aronoff is going to get that job done. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
You're listening to the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRMP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen with us here. He's got two segments every week. He plays Cincinnati, 2:30. Be nice if that was a full house on Saturday afternoon at TDECU. It's a regular season win. It's, your first year here and all that. But I don't think you can underscore how big it was for you guys to win that football game, Coach, after everything that was going on.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to. I guess, you know, just the experts out there said we weren't going to be able to overcome all that stuff. I was very happy with the outcome. You go in there as an underdog and you leave on the road with the 21-point win. That's impressive. I don't care where you're at or who you're playing. So it's good to be back home. It's very unfortunate for Coug Nation to not be able to see us at home against an opponent that like this, you know, until mid-October. That's a tragedy now. And I've made my feelings known, and the conference office has heard it. I don't know if anybody across the country has not played a home conference game at this point. So the schedule makers were not very kind to us. There's nothing we can do about it. Nobody really wants to hear about it, but it is kind of unfortunate that we really haven't played a home game yet. You know, and here we're sitting here in mid-October talking about this. But not, that ends this Saturday. And here's the other thing. It's a 2:30 game. 2:30 games are usually, you know, pretty scorching hot in Houston. I think the weather is going to be about 72 degrees. So it's going to be a great day. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be everything that you want. You know, we got a top 25 team, conference opponent, you know, good weather in our backyard. So I'm pretty excited about it, and I know our team is excited about it, and I would hope that we would get a lot of support.
We got Coach Dana Holgorsen here, University of Houston head coach. They take on Cincinnati in a pivotal game. And, you know, I think we've heard a lot. I did a show this week with Sports by Brooks. I was a little nervous because Brooks is so anti-college football, it seems like, these days. But he talked a little bit about your situation. And I think it is interesting that the narrative has changed. I think there is some educating, a process of education. I've tried to get it out there that, hey, this is an opportunity for a class that's coming in, you know, next year to be paired with a couple of players and some and a really good one in De'Aaron King. This is good for their future and good for the university. This is just, you know, kind of a loophole that hasn't really – it's not even a loophole. It's you're doing something that hasn't really been done before. Do you find that people – that narrative about the tanking thing is kind of over since you won your first game after that?
Yeah, it's either that or we're really bad at everything that we do. We can't even tank very good. You know? So if we're doing everything wrong within our program, evidently that's true because we can't tank. But
what do you tank for, by the way? Tank for draft? There's no draft picks.
I had to ask some of my guys. I go, what does tanking even mean? I don't even know what that means. And then obviously figured out that you do it to where you can improve your draft stock. Well, I didn't know we drafted players. You know, we're losing games doesn't help you recruit players, I can assure you that. So that's not our objective. And our team came out and played their best game of the year. We dominated on special teams. And then offensively and defensively, we played really physical. So I was very happy with that. But I think it's kind of gone away, you know. And, you know, that was the hot topic that week. You know, I had to answer a lot of questions, but it's one thing within our program that I've identified that we have to fix. You know, we're going to get a lot of developmental players here at the University of Houston, and that's great. So let's develop them. And part of developing them is giving them time. And just the whole age thing is a real thing. If you're a young senior and you're not graduating, then we're not doing you we're not putting you in the best position to be successful. So, you know, and there's, you know, everybody wants to know about two of them. Well, there's about 30 of them that were redshirt. You know, some of them are young, some of them are, you know, have a couple years of eligibility, and some of them are going to have 1 year of eligibility. So, there's a lot of them, and that's just the one thing that we've identified, and that's going to help our program develop. And I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, I talked to Derek yesterday, and he's like, Coach, it's amazing after just a couple of weeks of sitting back and watching this, it's amazing how much I've learned in like 2 weeks. So when you really sit back and take a deep breath and look at it from a different perspective, that's going to be very beneficial.
And here, this will tell you, ripped right after it happened by game day and Kirk Herbstreit. And then after the game that night, Dana was one of his top five coaching jobs of the week.
I guess that was his apology.
I guess. But
I didn't do anything different in that game than I did the previous game. I can assure you of that.
No, but that whole narrative was stupid anyway. But like you said, why would anyone want? So talk about it. You got a chance to recruit. What's been the message and how's the response? I mean, it's mostly here in the city of Houston, so I would imagine a lot of people do know and they've heard the story and everything else. What's been said in the households about it?
Well, yeah, we can't go in the homes at this point. We can only go in the
games. Okay.
I went. I saw Katie High versus Katie Tompkins. That was one of the best high school football games and best atmospheres that you can ever imagine across the entire country. I don't know how you can make it better than that. Honestly, there was about 20,000 people there in Katie, and just two really well-coached football games. This time of the year, we go watch games, and we evaluate. It's an evaluation period. We can get on the phone with them and talk to them and recruit them. And then, like, this Saturday, you know, for a
a good quality football game. We'll get, you know, we'll get a couple hundred recruits here on campus to watch what our atmosphere is like. So that's really beneficial as well. We get, you know, we'll get freshmen here, you know, so you can recruit them when they're on campus, and you can call them on the phone. But from going out and spreading the word, it's really just getting into the high schools and talking to the high school coaches. And, you know, we're in a bunch of them now. We were there on Thursday, Friday, went to some junior colleges on Saturday. But, you know, the message is just, look, we're here, and we're here to stay, and this is a great place, and we're going to continue to make it better each and every year. And, you know, so we need as many people to come want to be a part of this as we can.
Dan Holgerson, that's Saturday, 2:30, Cincinnati. Get out there, Cougs. Let's go. Got to have a big crowd out there. Like you said, he's going to have recruits out there, but need that. These players deserve you guys being out there and helping this team beat Cincinnati on Saturday. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. Before you go, you driving around in your expedition?
You know, they just traded me out, so I got a brand new expedition right now. Somebody bought the one that I was in, and the one I was in only had about 750 miles on it, so they brought me one that had like 7 miles on it, so it's brand spanking new, and it's nice. It's even better than the previous one I have. It's a dark gray one, and looks sharp, and drives even better.
Yep, that's the one I got, as a matter of fact, and it's one of the best cars I've ever owned, if not the best car I've ever had. So if you're looking for that Expedition, you're looking for that XLT, you're looking for that F-150, Chastang's is the place to go. Huge Coug supporters, the Chastangs. Can't be nicer people. They've got more repeat and referral business than they do, 85% of their business. That'll just tell you that people just love doing business with the Chastangs. It's not just commercial trucks that they do. They do everything. Retail. If you're looking for that car or truck, get to Chastangs. Just 5 minutes from downtown, 2 exits from 59 on 610, Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for that Chastang car or truck, Chastang Ford. Join the Chastang family.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.